Okay, on page Kuf Mem Aleph. At the end is an interesting, very important question. Interesting question. We'll do the last 2 minutes. On page Kuf Mem Aleph, Dov is a horribly suffic. I just wanted to mention before we start that each one of you should have received, by now I hope that you received an invitation to the Chanukah Abayis, and if not, it was just an oversight, because the guys are away, and with the names, and I gave in the list that Dovi made up, so we're having, I don't know if you can come, but you're all invited, so I'll if anybody hasn't by now, then that did any of you get it?
Yeah,
I got it.
So you didn't, Elon, you didn't get it. So
yeah.
No, you're on the list. I don't know what happened, because don't feel bad, because the person who gave $1 million for the building didn't get it either. No, my brother-in-law didn't get it. You didn't get it. I shouldn't put that in. That's not good. Yeah, it's not good. My whole family didn't get my. So there was a problem over there. I'll check. I mean, Dovi gave it. Because the guy that's in charge left afterwards, and I gave him the papers. But he didn't do some of the. But you're all invited. Matzah Shabbos Parshas Truma.
I'll send out an email tomorrow because somebody.
Yeah, Matzah Shabbos. If you're not, I just want you to know that.
I'm making
a promise. Right, I know you're making a promise. Thank you. I got the scarach, and my wife filled in that we can't come, but it should be Mazlan Brach. That's your own Chanukah Sabbath. You're building your own little Mishkan. That's good. That's a good reason. No, we must have Shabbos Parshas Truma, I think at 8 o'clock, and they start on time over there. Okay.
Further away you get from Brooklyn.
Yeah. So what's in Queens? What's the din here? Is the din of
on the border?
Okay, Dov is a barbly sofik. Kuf Mem Aleph. Dov is a barbly sofik, call Odom Baldas. Alright, it's barbly sofik, but you have to be someone who is a Baldas. It's clear and it's without any doubt for someone who has intelligence. Ken Nefesh Azai Shahiman Hashemisbarh. What the Mahal's talking here is Chassidus, the Yisrael Chassidus, every single word. Every word. That what? He says that Hanefesh Azai Shehimin Hashem Isbarach, that the soul that began, that its point of origin of departure was Hashem. Sarach Lahashiva Hashem Isbarach Hashem Nisan. That the tachlis of this world is that our avodah is to draw the neshama back to the one from whom it came. Kamei Shomar Kosev, next page. V'yoshuv ha'ofel ha'aretz kishahaya. And the ruach that we come from the earth, Hashem sent us into this world, and ultimately the ruach, the spirit of a Jew, returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, from the moment that we're born, we're really in the process of returning. That's how Rabbi Yosef Ben Zechas HaGavroch explained. Uchuvasa haramosa kisham beisa. He said a very beautiful thing. That it says that Shmuel HaNavi used to go around to Israel judging, right? Shmuel HaNavi used to go around. He used to go from town to town. It wasn't just judging. He was going from town to town. He was hearing Tish. He had Fabregans. He was in Hazik people. That's what he did. So it says in the Pasuk, Shuvasa Haramasa Kisham Beso, and his return, he went in a circle, and the return was to Ramah, to the place of Ramah, because that's where his house was. So Yoshebe said that the word tshuva here means return, because when you're going in a circle, when you're making hakafa, this every step that you're taking away from your home is a step towards your home, right? Every single step on a circle, on a line, that's not true. A line, you're just going right there. But in a circle, every step that you're taking away, you're also dreaming of coming home. Even from the first step out of the house, utshuvasa haramasa. Kisham based on Rabbi Yosheba says this is the story of a Jew in this world. That even though we think that we're going further and further away, the emes is that every step that we feel that we're taking away, we really, really, in some mysterious way, we're coming back. We're on the way home. Kisham based on, because that's your true home. So and that's what it means. Vayruach toshuv elo elokim. Look at footnote 19. This is a yisod in all the Marah's svarim. He called dover roi loshuv al haschalosa. The Marah writes this kaseda that in all of nature, in all of the world, even in the physical world, we see that the world was created in such a way where everything is yearning, is craving to come back to its point of origin, to its beginning. Everything is moving towards return. The whole world. Kfisha Kosab in the Siva Chuva Peregdal, where he writes, Kihu Yisbar Chascholos Hakol. And the beginning, the Kisham Beisa, where we all came from, is Hashem Yisbarach. That's the beginning. Kiakol Ro'i Loshuv El Dovishu Hascholola. Because everything is returning to its beginning. And the Sivan Novi writes, Kol Dovish Hu Choser El HaYisod Shalom. Everything is returning to its Yisod. That's the meaning of about a person being mechazer achra avedoso, marriage one is looking for an aveda, chazal, the loshon of chazal, that you're looking for something that's lost, because originally in Shemayim the husband and wife are plagufa, says in Zohar that they were really of the same neshama. Therefore, it's described in such a way as being mechazer achra avedoso, looking for something that was lost, even though it could be years later the person's telling you to get lost. but really, really, if it's a true zivig, you're looking for that which was lost. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mechazer achar vedosa, as the Sorma Kedoshim tells, that Hashem is looking for what was lost to Him, which is a Yiddish neshama. And Hashem is looking for every one of us to come back, to be brought back to Him. It's the greatest simcha when you bring a Jew back to Hashem is Baruch Hu's mamish. It's a hashavas aveda, the likes of which can't possibly be in this world, which is a finite world. But when you bring a Jew back to Hashem, it's the biggest Hashavas Aveda. So that's what it means to go home. That's what it means to return. Everything by nature, b'teva, is seeking a way back to its beginning. And it's interesting, on the simplest level, how comfortable people are with their beginnings, with their roots, even though they might have changed so much over the years. There's something so comforting in the beginning. In the beginning. It's very comforting, even if it's not the best. There are many people that they'd rather be, you know, in that place, even though it's not the best place, but it's the beginning. It's Kishon Beisa. Back on top. Now, to return to Hashem, Hashem who's Tohar Einayim, Hashem who's completely pure, Hashem who turns away from anything that's impure, anything that's coarse. So our journey back to Hashem requires a process of purification. A tahara, purifying from the pchisis of this world, from the lowness of this world, from physicality. The return to Hashem means, ultimately, a shedding away of all the physical things that we picked up over the years. And that's what he explains. If you look in footnote 20, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Beis, Tana Rabban Vayruach Toshuv El Elokim Asher Nitna. That's the pasuk that the ruach returns to Hashem who gave it. So Chazal say, Tna Loi Kama Asher Nitna Lecha B'Tahara. Give it back to Hashem the same way that He gave it to you. That's a very hard thing to do. Give the neshama back to Hashem the way that He gave it to you. The same way that He gave it to you. The same way that He gave it to you was b'tahara, af at b'tahara. So you return it b'tahara. What does that mean? So He brings over there. Shad nasna kray yaseiru lidrush havizohi shatashiveni love kamasha nitnalacha nikia bli oven. Rashi explains that Hashem Yisbarach gave you a neshama when it left home. It was clean and it was without sin. And ultimately, its return to Hashem is going to be in such a way. Moshe l'melech bosav adam, shecholak, chilek, big day malchus lavadav. This could be compared to a king who gave to his servants royal clothing. Pirchen shebehen, the intelligent, the wise ones, kiflum v'hinichum mekufsa. They took very good care of it. They folded it up and they put it into a nice drawer. Tipshim shebehen, the idiots, holchav also ben malocha, they went to fix their cars, like, you know, They received big day malchus from the king, and the guy's like, you know, doing an oil change.
Couldn't have been Jews.
So these are the tipshim. These are the fools. Liyomim bikesh hamelachas kalev. The king said it's time to return the royal garments. Pichin shebehan hechzirim loy kishahein meguhatsim. The intelligent ones gave them back, beautifully pressed and laundered, cleaned. Tipshin shebehan hechzirim loy kishahein meluchloch. But the tipshim, Hashem should save us that we shouldn't be tipshim. The tipshim shebehan gave them back filthy. Somach hamelach lekras pichin. The king rejoiced with those who were wise, the kas lekras tipshim, and he was angry with those who were fools. You don't have to explain the nimshal. The nimshal we understand.
Is it a fair mashal though? Because Hashem's not giving us the neshama to put it in a closet and let it sit there. He's supposed to use it, but you have to make sure to.
So I thought of that, Dovi. It's a good kasha. But you see, ichzirim lo k'shehin meguhatsim. It's interesting because even though it sounds like it was put into a drawer, so then what's the chachma? What's the chachma, right? It's put into a drawer. So I don't know. Ichzirim lo k'shehin meguhatsim sounds to me like they were taken out of the drawer and then they were cleaned and laundered. But the tipshim stam used it in the bisyan. Two things: they used it in a way that wasn't befitting the royal clothing. That's the first thing. So I think when they put it in the drawer, it means that they were careful to save it. Obviously, the king gave it to them for a reason, and they would wear the royal clothing on certain occasions, royal occasions. When do you wear the big day malchus on a royal occasion, right? So the pichin used it for those good reasons, and then even after they used it, they were careful to clean it and to take care of it. I think because I also was worried about that, but I think that the end when it says meguhatsim, it means that it was clean. L'chayra, of course they used it, or else it wouldn't be a good marshal. It wouldn't be a good marshal. So what's the chacham? So obviously we go through this world, we're using the royal garments, we're using the neshama. So you know that Rabbi Levi Sopoditcheva lost a son. He had a son who died, Reb Meir. The B'ditcheva son, Reb Meir, was a Kaddish Elyon, was from the Tzaddikei Olam of that time of Big Tzaddikim. His son Reb Meir. There's a whole song that from the B'ditcheva about when his son was mistaken, when his son died. Meir Kebani. So by his levayas, you might have heard this from me once, or from somewhere else, that by the levaya of his son, of Reb Meir, so they couldn't find the Kedushas Levi. They didn't know where the Rebbe was. And people were looking for him. And he was all the way, there were thousands of people, he was all the way at the back, and he was dancing. He was besimcha. It was like he was singing. And they thought that he had, God forbid, lost his mind from grief. And the people went there, the tzaddikim went, and they Levi Yitzchak, what is it? There was the simcha. So the B'ditcheva said, the Baruch Shalom gave me in the Sham and the Kiyah, that the Baruch Shalom gave me a perfectly pure and clean soul, and I'm returning him the same way they gave him to me. I didn't damage him. I wasn't paying him in the Kedusha of my child. I gave him back the way that the Baruch Shalom gave him to me. Can you imagine to say such a thing? That's Vairuach Toshuv El Ha'elokim. But you have to be a piker. That's what Chazal is saying. You have to be a piker, not to be a tippish, not to be foolish.
Is it only two madrigas?
Well, let me ask you this, Chaim. Let me ask you this. Do you wear clothing on Shabbos that's somewhat clean?
At least the beginning.
I am not talking about No, you're talking about the end. You're coming from a nice home. I'm sure that you have clothing that's nice and Shabbos that. The shaila is what happens to Dovatan. The answer to that is that you're right. A parent will understand if it gets a little bit, and along the course of using it. But it's different, and maybe there to work with a child, but to start off with it's clean, and to return it has to be returned in a perfectly clean way. So how does that happen? No, we should be zeichet to do tshuva. We should be zeichet to do tshuva, that it should be perfectly clean, and it could be cleaned. It could be cleaned in a moment, and it costs less than the cleaners. In Mesiras Nefesh, it costs a lot more. With money, it doesn't cost anything, but with Mesiras Nefesh, it costs a lot. It's expensive, but there is in between. The zich is in between. We're in between, right now.
What about the concept of being a taken? Something? It sounds like you're fixing something. In other words, it was given, so to speak, damaged, or there was a chesaron that was given. Aren't you supposed to give that back better in some way, in some respects?
Yeah, that's true. The Medrash doesn't go into that, and the Moshul doesn't go into that. That when the neshama is returned, it's on a higher madriga than it was before it came down. That's true.
So it's not just God gives you a neshama.
Rather not. The neshama reaches higher madrigas. That's why Hashem sent into this world. That's the whole lineage of the Shivas HaBe'er. Davka, the Aliyah comes from the waters that travel through the dirt and through the filth of this world, and they return and they rise up through the filth of this world. That's the Shivas HaBe'er. That's the greatest tikkun of all. That Davka the neshama travels through such a place of filth. And yet somehow it's possible to not only to be as it originally was, but even to even be on a higher madrega, to be even on a higher madrega. Yep. Okay, on top. Now, how does one do this? How do you come back to Hashem? Meaning, how do you rid yourself of the coarseness of physical life? And it doesn't mean not to eat and not to live, but how does one do that? So there's only one way. That every single mitzvah, this is what we've been learning, every single mitzvah is mezakech the nefesh. Every single mitzvah that we do, every single minig, every single custom, is peeling away something that separates between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's peeling off one of those shells that are separating. That's the zikach nafshay. The makar from Yisrael Hashem is baruch. Ad shehaadam dovag by yisbar. Till it comes to a point where a person can actually achieve this clinging to Hashem, cleaving to Hashem, that there could be a state of dveikus. Of course, the ultimate dveikus is not when one is weighed down by physical life. The ultimate dveikus is in that matzav of la'asad lava of the future. But then even afterwards, we're not talking about the period of Tchias HaMeisim, where the body will be ultimately refined in such a way that, which is the Tachlis that we've spoken about so often, of the Dir B'Sachtonim, of Hashem's dwelling place in the physical world. But that the physical world is a Lichtige Dir. It's a Dir, it's a dwelling place that's lit up, a dwelling place that's shining, that's beautiful. That's the ultimate goal. The Kol HaDvar MaTovim. Therefore, the moral says all good things, kamayat tzedakah, lasas mishpat, right, giving tzedakah, and lasas mishpat, living a fine moral life. Davizah ain't tzarich lefarish ki al yodim hu zoich el hatzloch hachmanit. There's no question that by doing these things, these are obvious. That by giving tzedakah and by doing these good things, that we even in our small minds we understand that by doing that. Like it says in the Lamarshal, in the Svar Makadoshim, it says that, and you wouldn't think of this on your own necessarily, but one of the most powerful means of a person becoming more of a ruchnizdika person is by giving tzedakah. And it sounds odd, because, like, you know, I'm writing out a check, and I'm talking business, and I'm giving to this maysid and that person, and it would seem to be that you're engaging in a very simple physical act. But the truth of the matter is that when a person forces himself to give tzedakah, especially if it's something which is not your teva to give, so there's a major breakthrough that's taking place, because the reason that you're not giving is because you're holding on too tightly to this world, and that's also affecting your davening. It's affecting your learning. It's affecting everything about you. You're holding on too tightly to this world. So when you force yourself, and because Jews b'teva are so good. So when a Jew forces himself to write the check or to take the money and to take it and to give it, so it's a major breakthrough on all levels, for davening, for learning, for everything, because at that moment you're tasting in a very, very powerful way the hisgabrus hanefesh al haguf, that your soul has won over your body, has become more powerful at that moment than your physical needs, because there's nothing as crazy as giving away your money. It's crazy. Why should I give it? I mean, I worked for it. Why should I give it away?
It's not really yours.
That's a Baal Madrega, okay, Beseder. And if you think that way, it's fine. But still, it's still very, very, it's a very hard thing for a person to depart with this world. It's very hard. And you see that with all of our problems and all the things that are going on, that Yidden Jews are still such big Baalei Tzedakah and Rachmanim B'nei Rachmanim, it's an amazing thing. How a Jew, even though he is holding on to this world, that a Jew is somebody who is Mukhan and Mzuman L'chayo Elam Haba, and you can see that because he's prepared to let go for somebody. He's prepared to let go if someone needs money, if someone needs help. But by doing that, you are loosening your connection to the physical world, and that means that you are detaching yourself from chumrias, from physicality, and therefore it'll affect your davening. If you do something good that you didn't feel like doing, you did somebody a taifa, you daven better. Not because like I'm in a good mood. Why in such a good mood? This was a tremendous hassle. I remember I have such a clear memory of this experience that I had. This is a ma'aseh, maybe it must be 20 years ago, 18, 20, something like that. So I was in the mountains in the summer, and I came out from the grocery, and there was an old Chassidish lady I was standing there waiting for a lift, you know. So she said, "Could you take me?" So I said, "Sure." You know, "Where are you going?" She says, "Okay, boo." So, you know, I said, "You have where you think?" She says, "Chom Hops." So then she takes me inside. She's like 50 packages. So first I had to carry. You know, I was younger then. It was fine. It was like 95 degrees. You know, I take all the bags, and she tells me this and tells me where to put it and how to stack it. You know, I had. Okay, so then she doesn't. I still ask her where. Like, you know, just give me a name of a town. She goes, "Vai to do," like this. But Kitzer, this was what should I tell you? That was a trip that started in Monticello, and it went so far past White Lake, and I mean it was a whole mahalach, you know. Okay, beside that, it was like in these back roads someplace. And then when I got there, so I said, "What should I do with the bigs?" So I go. She was like in a place, an Aroiska Vafendika place somewhere, like in the woods, and I had to go all these until I did it. This was a whole mahalach. So, you know, and I was thinking this time, I can't be like this guy, this lady, you know, what an operator. It's like a sweet old lady, and I'm thinking, she got me. You know, I should have noticed, I should have known. It's just gonna be one of these situations. I could have gone out the other, you know, I should have done something. But, and I barely got back. I remember I barely got back, just 30 seconds I got back in time for Maariv. And I went into shul, and I had such a geshmak at davening. And even the way back, I had such a geshmak. While I was doing it, I was correcting. By the way back, it was so geshmak. And I thought of that. I thought about how... I remember thinking about this when I was davening, about how, you know, for a few minutes, I let go of being a selfish person, being such a selfish person. And it was hard. It's hard. Because I had plans that I had to do this, I wanted to do that, and I let to let go. And when you let go of this world and you do something which is for, and you do something for someone else, and you let go, so then your whole davening is it's a different tefillah, and your learning is a different Torah, because you're not so magushim anymore. And what was I doing the whole time? I was sweating like a dog, schlepping bigs. It was the most magushim day of the whole summer. It was the most gashmis day. And if I would have been sitting there, maybe if I would have even gone tivling in a mikvah, I wouldn't have felt as good that marv. Because why? Because you did for somebody. You did for someone else. Whenever you do that, and it's not for you, it's for someone else. So that's kial yodam hu zoichel hatzlocha achroina. You're becoming less magushim. It's interesting. You'll see by Yidden, you could take sometimes a guy that sits in Bais Medrash, he's sitting in Bais Medrash, learns, doesn't learn, but he sits in Bais Medrash for 10 hours, 11 hours, and you get another guy that's running around like a Meshuggah, taking, coming, going, picking up, helping, doing things. And the guy that's running around is much less of a Magushim Dika guy than the guy that was sitting all day for Zich Alein. I'm not talking about someone who's a Baal Madrega, who's learning L'Shem Shemayim, who's learning Torah L'Shma. But you can have a yid like that that's running around and you see he's a much bigger balavoy, and you ask yourself, how could it be? The other guy sitting in front of the Gemara for 10 hours. This guy is schlepping and running, and he's like running some program for somebody, Chais, and this guy is a big balavoy. How could it be? It's hard to know. It's hard to know. You can have a person that's sitting next to the Gemara and he's mamish buried in this world. And you can have another guy that he's giving somebody a lift, and he's davik to Hashem, right? You don't know. It all depends to what extent you're letting go of this world. So he says, "Ki al yodam huzeich latzlach achmar." There's no question. V'zeki b'dvar ma'heim yeshle his damus v'his yachesus al Hashem zbach. Now, what the Maral says here is found a lot in the Ramchal Svar, but this is beferish Maral. And it's a very, very big yisayid in Avodas Hashem. The Tamaral says that all of these things, whenever you do something that's a godly act, it's godly. How do you know it's godly? Because the Baruch Shalom told me it is. How do I know that? Because it says Shulchan Aruch. It says Shulchan Aruch, it means it's godly. It means it's a lakus. So, when I'm doing that, at that moment that I'm doing it, I am resembling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. So this parasha is Zekeh Levan Veyu. Anivahu. I am Mahu Avata. So when I'm doing something that's a shtikel akus, when I'm doing this thing, so when you're schlepping the bags, and you're not fighting with it, and you're trying to do it for the right reason, but even if you're not doing it for the, but when you're doing that amelus for somebody else, that act is a godly act, and mimela when you're doing that, you're being mizdamet to the Baruch Shalom, you're resembling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though it seems like you're doing the most physical thing of the day, and it seems to be something which is very coarse and stand plain, but the truth is that at that moment you're being mizdam al Hashem Yisbarach. You're being mizdam al Hashem Yisbarach. B'meh she'elu hadvarim hem darchi Hashem Yisbarach, because these are the ways of Hashem Yisbarach. These are the darchi Hashem Yisbarach. All the mitzvahs, tzedakah, mishpat. These are all Darche Hashem. These are Hashem's ways. So how are you mizdabik to somebody? By being like that person. The only way that you can be attached is resembling, is being like the person. I've spoken about this very often. When you're different, you might enjoy each other's company for a couple of minutes. You might enjoy, there might be an einig when you're different, but as far as ahava, love, and as far as dveikus, attachment, that's only when there's resemblance. Not like what they say in the non-Jewish world, that opposites attract. Opposites get divorced. That's what happens in the world. Opposites, they do attract. Just like I mentioned once, that like the Tzemach Tzedek says, just like when you're very hot, you enjoy a cold drink, and you're very cold, you enjoy a hot drink. Opposites attract. There's no question, but that's not ahava, that's not vegas, that's just pleasure. It's pleasure, it's pleasurable for a moment. But that's not love. Right? So you have people that they'll go out, they'll get married, And it could be like the most passionate thing leading up to the marriage, and then you see that it's already 2 weeks later. It's Eiskespiel, nothing from nothing. It's finished. The whole what happened to the ahava? There was so much ahava. It wasn't an ahava. It wasn't a dveikus. It was stama, an attraction. It was hot and cold, and that's an attraction. It's very intense, and a lot of people unfortunately get married like that. And that intensity is short lived. Of course, like all. Had people who have cold drinks, you know, if they have a can or two of soda, it's not going to chiddush anymore. It loses its time. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So those relationships are short-lived. Dveikus is when you resemble. Not, you don't have to be identical, especially in marriage. I mean, it can't be because a woman is din and a man is chesed. And how could it be? So there is something there of attention to begin with. But the more his damas, the more his damas, the more resemblance, the more dveikus. Therefore, when it says in the Zohar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not sure, but also the pogim, that Hashem doesn't dwell in a place that's blemished, we understand, because that place doesn't resemble him. Like, you're not going to find the Shechina on Broadway. You know, it doesn't make a difference what the play is about. You know, even Fiddler on the Roof. Which is a lot because it's anyway the whole thing, but even Fiddler on the Roof, you're not going to find it. The Shechina is not there. The Shechina is not there because why? because it's attached to the Sasri. The Shekhinah doesn't dwell in such a place. Of course, the Shekhinah is, I mean, the Baruch Hu is everywhere, but I mean to say that Hashuas HaShekhinah, it's in a level of Kedusha, that's not going to be. It's like the Kotzke said, that the Baruch Hu dwells where you let him in. That's where he comes, where you let him in. And on Broadway, they're not letting him in. Why they're not letting him in? Because Hashem doesn't come to a place where he's not comfortable. It's partial. The Shekhinah doesn't come where it's not comfortable. Do you know how much you have to daven that your house should be a place where it's comfortable for the Shekhinah? It has to do with how you talk, how you dress, what kind of kelim you have, mekelim showing them in the house, how you live in the house, that the place should be a place where the Shekhinah feels comfortable. This is a Jewish home. This is a place where the Baruch Hu wants to be. But if it doesn't resemble, the more coarse and the more physical something is, the less resemblance it has kevyachol Hashem, who's ain like the musaguf, ain like guf, who's not physical, who's ain sof, who's infinite. So the more finite something is, the less connection it has to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The more infinite you are, the more connection, the more comfortable it is for Hashem in that person, in that place. Shu oisa chesed o mishpat utztaka ba'aretz. The whole way of Hashem is these oisat chesed o mishpat utztaka ba'aretz. That's the whole way of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that he's righteous and just and kind and compassionate. This resemblance, resembling him, acting in his way, going in that way, this itself is the Dveikus Hashem. This is the Dveikus Hashem. K'meishovim perakama desoitem. Achri Hashem alokechem telechu. It says in Pasuk that you should follow, you should go after Hashem. V'chayev shalei hidabik b'shechina. So the Gemara asks, how could one be attached to the Shechina? How could that be? Ela haloich acha midaisev. It means the mitzvah of achri Hashem alokecha telechu doesn't mean something physical. It means to resemble him as much as possible, to go in his ways, to live according to his to those midas. And that's the ikur inyan of tshuva. When a person, that's why you learn. If a person learns the sefer Torah Devarah, the best way to prepare an elul, and the best way is you learn Torah Devarah. So what does it mean to learn Torah Devarah? You see over there, what does it mean chesed? What's Hashem's chesed? And how could I be mischasid? What's the midas hagvur? What's the midah of Teferis? And how in my life can I act in a way, can I behave in a way that's in accordance to the midah of Teferis, of Netzach, of Hoid? What does it mean, Hoid? What does it mean, Netzach? Most people go to 120, they don't even know what that means. Even though they say it in davening all the time, and so on, they say the spheres, but they don't even know what they're talking about. So if a person wants to awaken the 13 midahs of Rachamim, so one has to understand, how do I act in a way that's Rachum, Mechanun, and Erech Apayim, and Rav Chesed, and Emes? And when I act in that, when I act in those ways, and I live that way, so when I do that, I'm Mizdamet HaHashem. Then I'm resembling Kivyachal Hashem. And when that happens, so then that's how a person achieves Dveikus. Hareki Yizdamus Elu B'maisim Mashaev Shenikra Halicha Achrov. That's what's called Halicha Achrov. That's what it means to follow him, to be attached to him. And that means attachment to him. Because there's no question, the moral says, that when you resemble, then you become attached. If you resemble, if you're similar, if you share a common goal, a common aspiration, this is what we're talking about now in the Shabbos Shiurim that I'm giving during the week, the whole inyan of what does it mean, that the neighbor's Shabbos in the house, and what's the or, what's the light of the Shabbos candle, which is an or, which Chazal talks so much about, Mi'iras Einav and Shalom Bayis. What does it mean, Shalom Bayis? It doesn't mean just not the trip. It means that a husband and wife share a common goal. Even though during the 6 days of the week you might forget, like, what's the tachlis, what's the point? And everybody's running around in his own little world. When it comes to Shabbos and the Shabbos candle, the inyan of the Shabbos candle, the Shalom Bayis of the Shabbos candle is, that light that was first lit inside the mother's womb, that was shining from one end of the world to the other, that told you that you knew then that this is my tachlis in life. This is my purpose in this world. And a husband and wife share the same purpose, the same goal. And if they don't, then there's no light, there's darkness, then there's no Shalom Bayis. if a husband and wife began under the chuppah sharing that same light, but then at some point along the way they began to look in different directions, so then the kruvma turning away from each other, and there's no shalom, there's no peace. Shabbos is a time when a person can remember what's the tachlis, you know, what is it that we wanted when we stood under the chuppah, what do we have in common, how is it that we resemble each other, and to focus on that which we have in common. How many times I have husbands and wives that they come and their mamas, you see when they walk in, like, you know, you could see that, like, this has been like 20 years of fighting here. They look like they're like growling when they walk in, and I say, oh yeah, you know. So like they both, you know, each one comes. Sometimes their mamas come with papers with written the tainus. A lot of times they don't do that. They have it, but they have tainus because they already know it by heart. You could forget Rashi in a minute, but tainus you can remember. So, and they're new tainus all the time. So, see, I see them like when they sit down. So I look at them. I see such tainus. Oh, they're like, there's like a list of tainus. So, you know what I do 99% of the time? They sit down. They come to talk to me about having problems. And then when they sit down, you know, it's a lot of tension. They see them. I'm just have tainus. And the first thing I always say is, you know, I have no question in my mind that the two of you, mamish, are totally in love with each other. And you love each other with all your hearts. And then they think I'm crazy. They came here to, like, they're looking for a referee. And, you know, and I'm talking like, and I say this, I say, look, but then I have this, I have that. Say, yeah, okay. And you know what? Before we go into the tainus, and we'll talk about the tainus. Kaidim Kol, I want to hear from each of you. What did you first see in each other? Like, why did you get married? And tell me some good things about each other. And then, you know, it always comes out. The ruba de ruba. 99%. I'm not talking about whether, God forbid, there are situations that are terrible and that there needs to be a separation, unfortunately. But ruba de ruba with good people that really love each other, their tainus. But 99%, they have so much more in common. They really miss damim. They really, and you know what? And what gets each one so upset is about it's because it's mamish what the other person does. The same thing to annoy the other. They're miss damim even in what they're doing to annoy each other. They also resemble each other. I say, you have so much in common. You're both so unbelievably annoying. Look how much you have in common. You know, you're both annoying, you're both careless, you're both irresponsible, you're both slobs, your mamas love each other. You have so much in common. And when two people share in common, so there's a dveikus, which can often be forgotten. People don't realize that. But that's the meaning of Shabbos. Shabbos is every week there's a reminder of why, of what are we here for? What's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? Tachlis ma'asi shamayim v'aretz. That's Shabbos davening. That's what it means. And that's why it's l'chadoidi, l'kras kala, it's a chasana, it's an eishes chayil, v'chule, v'chule. It's coming back to the beginning. That's what it means. Kasha timtza dvorim hadoimim yesh lehem chibur yachad. So the Maral says that dvorim hadoimim, those things that are similar, they have a connection, they have a chibur. So it could be that there's a yid that you would never ever even talk to. You wouldn't even look at. But you know that if both of you end up for some reason stuck, you know, you both end up stuck someplace like in Uruguay, and you're like with a million natives, and there's some yid sitting on the other side of the room, and that was a yid that, you know, you didn't like him in shul because, you know, you thought he was too much of a macher or something, or it wasn't enough of a macher, or you didn't like that his shoes weren't polished properly, whatever your tainus are, and you're sitting there in Uruguay in some big room with 10,000 natives, and your eyes meet. It's mamish love. Ah, my entire, my precious, my brother. And you sit down, you start talking about, he's going good. You remember Kugel, and you remember the time that we had this, you know, we were in this place, and you remember this, and they become yedidei nefesh. And then afterwards, they could remain yedidim if they hold on to that. They could remain good friends if they remember that. So isn't it crazy? Because it really, really means that every single Jew, potentially, is supposed to be your best friend. It's supposed to be your best friend. It's just that what? because when you're among so many others, you see the things that separate you from the other, and you focus on what separates you. So this guy wears a knitted yarmulke and I wear a black yarmulke. I mean, it's such a stupid thing in your life. Like I said, I mean, it's just such an idiotic. Like I always think, like, what's the Baruch Shem thinking about this? It's such an idiotic thing. Like, what kind of yarmulke he wears? And you have more edler chilukim. This is suede. This is velvet. This is on the side. This is in the front. And this guy wears his payas like this. This guy goes like that. This guy says Be'al Para. This guy says Boy. This guy says Bo. Right? And all these chilukim. Chan Irish guy. If you're sitting there in Uruguay, it doesn't make a nafkin whether he says Be'al or Boy. It doesn't make a nafkin whether he has a knitted yarmulke or a velvet yarmulke. It's a nafkin. He's a yid. Even if he doesn't have a yarmulke, he's a yid. You know what kind of a simchas on the nefesh there is to see a Jew? And such a hischarbus, because you know that this every single Jew with another Jew is mamish, is chavuk v'dovuk, is attached in the deepest way. Because why? Because every Jew, because av echad lo kulana, because we have one father. We're mamish one mishpacha. The world can't understand such a thing. The world doesn't understand that you could have Jews that are mamish fighting each other day and night. But if a guy gets involved, then those two Jews will be a melchamis mitzvah. They'll join and they'll do whatever they can to help each other. They'll do whatever they can to help each other. And it's a pella. It's a pella. And I mentioned in shul, I don't know if I mentioned here, I mentioned in shul a couple of weeks ago, it must be only a week or two ago, I mentioned in shul how, you know, the whole thing that happened with Yanka Rosenbaum, all of a sudden, you know, that happened to Mice in Crown Heights. So at the time, I was in Eretz Yisrael when that happened. I was there for that week, but then I remember coming back, and I was talking to somebody. I heard also an interview like this, but I was talking to there's a cousin of mine. There's a Haisa Satmar Chosid, a very stark, a strong Satmar Chosid, and you know Lubavitch, this Lubavitch, that. So he ran over there, you know, to Crown Heights. You know, in the middle of the milchama there. Well, it wasn't a milchama, it was a pogrom. He went in the middle of the pogrom. He went there to do what he could do. He's and he came with a whole chaver of chesina from Williamsburg. He came there. This is a milchama's mitzvah. So I asked my cousin, what? That's your whole life, all you ever do is tell him, because every time he saw that I was looking at Lubavitch's safe, he said, what are you doing? It's tumas, it's rach, you know, what are you doing? So he gave me a headache. You know, I don't mean the old swami, I mean, you know, not tiny or anything like that, but I'm saying the high ticket. So I said to Maya, what are you doing in Crown Heights? I heard you in Crown Heights, is it true? What are you doing in Crown Heights? He says, this is my brothers, this is my mishpach. Yeah, we're having some disagreements and stuff, but it's my brother. So nafkamina doesn't make a difference. At that moment, it makes a difference whether he goes like this, he goes like that. He's a yid. But you don't think that there isn't a Jewish heart that's not broken when you see in the newspaper, you hear in the news about even as a Jew who's a totally secular Jew and Eretz Yisrael, God forbid, was shot or that was hurt. You don't think there's a Jewish heart that's not every Jewish heart is broken. Even though he thinks I would never have been able to sit down at one table with that person, that's not true. It's not true. All the chilukim are so superficial, so silly. But really, really, he says, "Dvarim hadoyim yesh lahem chibur yachad." Is there anything greater than the fact that we have Yiddish and the Shamas? Is there any greater resemblance that one person can have with another? That by the goyim it's always nefashis, Esav is nefashis. Each one is separate in his own world. But by a Jew, we're all mamish from the same cut. It's the same fabric. One Jew with another Jew. Look in footnote 26. So he brings here from these are Chazals. The Maral brings the Keseda. It's throughout Chazal. L'shon ibn Yisiv ha'habas Hashem. But sinu b'chush. We see this mamish with our eyes. Ki b'nei odem shehim is damim. That when people resemble each other, oyavim zeza, they love each other. They can love each other. Ma'amach ha'chom, the Gemara says there, l'elchim ha'lachazaz, l'salar, if there's a reason that these two birds join together, it's because they're both cruel. They're both even among thieves, there's honor among thieves. Because why? Because you're a thief, I'm a thief. I love you. We're both ganavim. So we share that in common. So ganavim can love each other. Well, b'drosh Shabbos, I got a kosov ki adoyim es charbal adoyim. the one who the two that they resemble each other, they're mischabim, they're attached to each other. Ki la'olam hadoyme yehav es hadoyme. That's what happens. And he brings in that's a chisol derechaim and so on. All of these ma'amakaimis. And footnote and then chibiyachan. Yeah, back on top. Vahadvar mashehim hafochim after 26 on top. And those things that are opposite, zelaze efsher sheyimtzu yachad. They can't stay together. They might be able to get together a bit initially because it's exciting. It's exciting. You know, it's interesting. It's fun when something's the opposite. Opposites are a lot of fun because everybody's looking for some thrill. So you're bored because you're in your own way and you're stuck in a certain way. And you know, and you say, gee, this is really exciting because it's the opposite of what I'm used to. That's an excitement, but you shouldn't confuse that with love. That's a lot of people make a mistake with that. People really do think that's called love. I mean, every teenager thinks that's called teenagers. I mean, the use of the word love is a very, very, it's a very common thing among teenagers. I'm not talking about B'nai Torah. B'nai Torah, hopefully, that they have proper shmira themselves. But people who are growing up not in such a strong background, you know, so you have some 12-year-old saying to an 11-year-old, "I love you." What's the pshat? I love you. What's the bechlal? What does it mean? Do any of us really understand it? I mean, we're trying to figure it out. What does it mean, bechlal? But certainly. Hafochem zelazeh, eeshashi emotzi yachad, it's short lived. It's exciting. It's exciting because my whole life I've been a boy and you're a girl. That's exciting. That's exciting. You know, your whole life you're with the guys. And there's a girl, that's exciting. So it could be like the first girl that comes along. And she's the first one that ever said hello to you. And you say, you know, I think I'm in love. I think I'm in love. We have so much in common. We have so much in common. It's hard to believe. We just met. You know, these guys, they pick up girls, they use these lines, you know, like, you know, this guy, he knows you from the time of creation. And if you hang out with him, it'll be the beginning of your destruction, his creation. And that's the guitar. What does it mean? He has nothing in common. What's the pshat? The pshat is, he's a boy, you're a girl. And for most people, that's fine. That's enough. I love you. That's it. It's an Irish guy. It's not the Miss Damim. What kind of a... Do people, an immature person as Bechlal, understand who he is, that he should resemble somebody else? If you don't know who you are, then what connection can you possibly make on a deeper level to somebody else? You don't even know who you are. So you say to some kid, the kid says, I'm in love. What do you mean you're in love? You don't even know what I means. Forget the second part of the sentence. We'll talk about love later on. Tell me what I is. When you say the word, I am in love, tell me what it means, I. What's Bechlal, I? It's the same I that loves French fries. It's the same I that loves a good basketball game. And now it's I am in love. An Irish guy didn't even know who the I is, Bechlal. You don't know who it is. And how many people, they think that, and then when they begin to find out more about who the I is, then they realize they have no shaykhis to the you. And then the end of the sentence, love you, becomes so tasteless and silly that they can't even look at the other person. Because, and then they have tinnitus, you don't understand me. You don't understand me, sir. So what do you mean? What kind of time is that? You told her that you loved her. And you didn't even know who you were. So now you have a time that she doesn't know who you are. You don't even know who you are. So what do you have a time with her? She believed you. And she was lonely. And she went along with you. And now you have time. This is all the time. You don't understand me. You don't understand me. Of course I understand you. I have nothing in common with you. Why should I understand? I should understand you. I don't understand you at all. You're right. But how come... on that Matzah Shabbos in the car, there they understood each other. You'll forgive me. There they understood each other. But they were mischabrim yachad. They were mischabrim. But it wasn't the chibur of Kedush and Tahara. Then they understood each other. No. All they did then, it was exciting and thrilling to be with something that's so different from you. And isn't it scary that people get married with this feeling of being so different from someone? That's scary. And a lot of the chevra doing that, because you get a lot of the chevra, the first thing the girl's hearing from the time that she's 16, marriage, she goes to seminary, the hacking in the head, she's thousands of miles away from home, marriage, and we'll make a shidduch for you, and she's, and you know, some guy comes along, and shalom aleichem, shai, Marina Del Rey. That's the next conversation. It's a pacham. It's a pachet. And then, and they'll live if you tell them, and when you talk to people about how it used to be. So how did it used to be? And was it possible to work? It didn't always work. They make it sound like it always worked. There were plenty of problems in the old days too. But how could it be two families to make a shidduch? Well, the teretz is, I know this sounds, to the modern mind, it's almost impossible to even talk about this because it sounds so bizarre. But you know something? People had a basic understanding of who those other people were and where the kid was coming from. There was a certain hisyachasis, there was a hisdamus, there was a resemblance. There was something that there was something very clear that they were able to see that they shared in common. So even though to begin with it might not have been the most exciting thing, but over time they realized how much they share and how much they really do have in common. But nowadays all the kid's looking for is the opposite of what I come from. The opposite of what I of who I am. The opposite, the opposite. And they'll laugh at you and they say, I don't know, I don't see anything, you know, I don't see what you have in common and this and that, you know. And you know, it's such a funny thing because I, you know, I'll tell you, I'm laughing at how my mother was so nervous when I was going out. I should only go out with a Hungarian girl. We're Hungarians and this, and I, you know, and I'm respectful to my parents, but in my head I was saying, I was looking at my mom and said, I'll try. I said, I'll try, Ma. But I was thinking, oh, you know, my mom really needs help. I would say, I'll try, Ma. And my father said, every Jewish girl is good, but it's nice if it's a Hungarian. It's good. And I'm thinking, I can't believe my father also. My father is so smart. Like I don't get it. So, of course, I married a Litvak. My wife, she said, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, she's wonderful and worked out. But you know what's interesting? I'm thinking the same thing for my daughters. Now, I know. Now, I sound crazy, right? I'm thinking. No. I'm thinking. I think it's maybe get a Hungarian girl, a Hungarian boy. So now, what does that mean? Yeah, it sounds crazy. I don't mean a nationality. When I say that word Hungarian, my mother didn't mean it either. It has to be someone that speaks Hungarian. She didn't mean that. In her own way of speaking, I know what she meant. You know what she meant, and it's exactly what I mean. I don't care if it's Hungarian or Galician, as long as it's just a shame of mitzvah. I don't care. But what my mother was trying to say is, it should be someone like what you come from. And without saying the words "our type," it really didn't mean that they came from had to be from Munkach or from Ungvar, or it had to be from Berek Saz or from Debrit Sin. It didn't mean that. It meant, and it means for me that it should be with a certain havana of the past, a certain hisdamus. Like, I'm always shocked nowadays. I'm shocked. You ask young people, and it sounds funny because I always thought of myself as a young person, but it's becoming less clear. So you ask, nowadays, like, I'll have someone, I'll ask a young person, they'll tell me, I say, where your grandparents are from? Yeah, my grandparents from Poland. I'll say, where in Poland? I don't know. When I was growing up, I could probably have told you, like, how you get from one street to the other in my father's city and my mother's town, because that's how connected I felt, and that's how fascinated that I was. And how attached I felt to their past, and how much they shared with me of that past, and how much I connected to that. And now, it's without roots. It's without any shiroshim. Everybody's just wandering without being connected in a deep way. And they think that what? That the entire hisdamus is, what the resemblance is, a resemblance that begins with our conversation. It's not true. A resemblance between people is something which begins long before. Not to say that it's not possible to make a shidduch that can't work out. I mean, of course it can. But how fast people are nowadays to make fun of this way that things used to be done. Where the parents met and they made an arrangement. I understand that nowadays it's very hard that it should work out. The reason they can't work out, not they can't, but it's hard for it to work out is because of people's expectations. Not because it can't work. Under the right circumstances, it works, and it works better. You think that with all of this dating that there'd be so much happiness in the world, and they had to find out exactly who the other person was to see how much we resemble each other, and then a year later they think, but my mother didn't do that, and my father didn't do that. Well, now you all of a sudden now you're talking about your genealogy, but before we loved each other. So the shiroshim are so weak nowadays, and in Mela there's so little hisdamus, it's so hard to make a shidduch, because what do you have in common? What do you really share?
What do you share with another? What, when you come into a relationship, what do you have in common? The kids nowadays, they're like, they're wandering on the surface of things. It's hard to, I can't put it into words. They're like, they're floating around. Where do your parents, where, who are your grandparents? I don't know. What? You don't have, without an identity. I talk to my kids day and night about Zaidi and Bobby and where they're from and what it was and this feeling of who we are and who we come from, and not in any way to say to develop them a certain feeling of superiority. And I didn't feel that growing up, but I felt different. I felt there was something special, and I felt a responsibility to it. I felt a responsibility to the past. I felt a connection to it in a very, very deep way. And it's very hard now. It's so hard. People just bechlal not. So then, in order that there should be dveikus and ahavad, there should be attachment and love, there has to be hisdamas. There has to be resemblance. Resemblance doesn't just mean we're both, you know, even though ultimately all Jews, as I said before, all Jews can be brought together. It's true. But you have to work through many things, many, many things. And when there's a hisdamas, so then the ksharim, the attachment, the ahav and the devekas comes in a much stronger and an easier way. It's with less pain. The end, of course, is my daughter's engaged to a Hungarian boy. Yeah. Right. The parents are on all sides. So, huh? Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's my chesaron. That's not the other side. Is fine. That's my chesaron. So this is what the Mal's talking about. Hadvar mashahem hafochem zelazeh efsha shiyamotzu yachad efsha. You got to go around talking to the kids about this. They have to talk to them in school when they're still young. Hadvar mashahem hafochem zelazeh. So you say someone that, can you imagine when a Jew and a non-Jew want to get married? So somebody was telling me today that he met this couple that she's Jewish and he's not Jewish, and they're so deeply in love. And it's a firm guy that told it to me. And I said, hold on. I said to him, hold on a second. Don't tell me that they're deeply in love. It can't be that a Jew and a non-Jew should be deeply in love. It can't be. It cannot be. B'shum Eifen. It's a contradiction of terms. They could have a tremendous affection for each other. They could have a lot in common, and they might be doing a lot better, so it seems, than a lot of Jews are doing with each other. But don't use the word deeply in love. Deep is a word that you have to be very careful how you use that, because it sounds like it's coming from the neshama. And when you dig deep in a Jew, when you dig down deep in a Jew, there's an Avraham Avinu. And when you dig down deep in the other one, there's a Terach. And the two don't come together. So don't tell me they're deeply in love, such a lashon, deeply in love. They're having a good time. And they might be for 40 years having a good time. And they can get along. And they match up in many, many ways. But in the pnimius of a pnimius, it can be. E'ef sheshiyamot siyacha. V'dov is ze'ein tzarech ra'is. I don't have to really bring ra'is to this. Let's look at 27. Let's look at the footnotes. K'mavur le'el. Sha'achid v'ad dibra hem hafochem l'chein hem hasichem b'shas hasudah. Eating and speaking are two opposite uses of the mouth, are eating and speaking. One is taking in, the other one is giving out, right? Therefore, one of the most dangerous things to do is to eat while, is to speak while you're eating. It's to talk while you're eating. They're two opposites. They don't get along. Ubegruz Hashem, kasav, shnei hafachim leiskabsiv davarachat be'isecha. Two opposites don't come together at one time. Begraye, hafachim leyizbelu b'nyinecha. They can't tolerate. Opposites can't bear being together. They can't tolerate it. V'cheinu sham b'dvarim, and so on. Because of Eich Yeh La Torah, Yaseichel Kiyam Aguf Achom, Rikeven Shem Hafochim, Bein Amida El Asher Hafochim Yachad. This relationship between the body and the soul is a very difficult one. It's a lot of problems because they're two opposites. The body and the soul are opposites. It's a very difficult thing. And the only one who could bring them together is Hashem, because he's Mafli Lassos. That's the meaning of the Brocha. Mafli Lassos. What's the Pella? What's the wonder? The wonder is that a body and a soul can be held together when you come out from the bathroom. It's a Taka Pella. How could it be? Asher Otsos Sol De Mechachim. Only Hashem can bring together such opposites, a body and a soul. And so on. Footnote 28. That when you act in a way that is the way that Hashem acts, that's how you become attached to Him. Lahepach ze gam kein. Harichuk min ma'asiv yisalu hu agerim harichuk mimenu. You could be saying, I love God. Oh, I love the Torah. But then why do you eat chazer? Why don't you put on tefillin? Never mind. I love God in my heart. It can't be because they're hafachim, because God doesn't do that, because the Baruch Shalom keeps the mitzvahs. And it's the same way as a person who's, God forbid, cruel, and he says that he loves Hashem. It can't be because he's not daima. They're too different. So you could say the word love, but you don't really love him because you're so different from him. You're eating tarfis. You're mechal Shabbos. So you love Hashem. You can talk spirituality all you like, but I'm sorry, you're just imagining it.
Some people do exist. What is that feeling?
How do you describe that? Because there's a yid has a chelak al-kami mal, and that's why I said so. Really, a yid primius is a yid. So there can be Hashem can be talking to him at times. It's true because Hashem gives the Torah to us all the time, even to this Jew. He's been given the Torah, and therefore there can be moments of his hisayrus for any Jew. He's a Ben Avram, he's a Yid. So he has a Hesiris. And from that he goes on talking for 10 years. That he has this and that and spirituality. But the emes is that if a person's actions are the opposite of Hashem's actions, so then how could they be a Dveikus? That's why it says in the Pasuk in Shir Shim, Yanosi Tamosi, right? My perfect one, and Chazal say, Al Tikri Tamosi, Ella Ti'armosi, my twin. That the Jewish people call Hashem's twin. Imagine a Jew. Every Jew is Hashem's twin. What an unbelievable covet! A twin, I mean the identical twin, not Stam. Who have Garim Arichigman? Therefore, being different from him causes distance. Even though you're talking spirituality and you're saying over Ma'isim from the River of Zusha, it's not. Never the twain shall meet. What we just learned, just like Hashem clothes the naked, so too we do these things when we resemble Him. When you're similar, you have a chibur of Hashem. And when you're opposites, when you're different, you cannot have a chibur and a dibuk kashi. When you resemble Hashem, of course you can, Mamish. I mean, Akash Baruch Hu is Ein Saif. Rak Mash Evshel is Damos, Min Hamidus HaTayvus, Mishbochus, when you learn, it means Chesed, and Gvur, Tiferus, Yitur. You do what you can, and in doing so, obviously we're limited, but you're Mizdama as much as possible to Hashem, and the result of that is, that a person, Mizeh Yilei Dveikas, Yechivu Yisalav, Eshu Oysahav, when you do the opposite, Mizrachik Menu, but tachlis harichah, even though you might feel like you're very close when you're sitting there, you know, and you got forbid eating your ham sandwich, you feel all of a sudden is, you know, you feel like Hashem will look him, but it can't be because you're doing the opposite of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we're going to talk about how this works specifically with certain aveiras, how there are certain aveiras that are minakotze lakotze, that they're totally opposed to Elokus. And certain mitzvahs that more than other mitzvahs bring about a state of hisdapkus. That's what we're going to talk about in Mitzvah Hashem next week.